It's good to be here this morning, and I'm not sure, it's been several years since we were here, but I felt like coming this morning was a little different because I realized this morning 1 year ago, today is when some of your youth group came up to New York. I looked at my photos this morning, it was the 25th of February last year, so coming this morning was nice to know that I'm going to see some faces that we connected with and got to meet, so that was a good thing. It's a blessing to be here, even though my night was a little short. We rolled into Nate's around 12:30 this morning, and talking about agreements, Phil, I had agreed to share, but I didn't realize my time to prepare was going to be so short. So trust that the Lord will give the increase. Is my mic, is that going? You got it on. I'd like to start out telling a story, and this story happened back in the 1900s, which that's the year, that was the time frame I was born in. But it was in the late 80s. My dad was a kind of a maintenance man, all-around man at a company, and they had multiple properties in the area where we lived in Pennsylvania. And he was called on for all different projects and jobs sometimes, from unclogging toilets to fixing AC units to guarding even sometimes. And one night, as a 7-year-old boy, my dad was asked for several nights to guard this facility that was going to be, I think the bank was taking it back or something, and they were worried about not being able to get the rest of their contents out of the building. And so they asked my dad, as the maintenance man, can you sit at this property and just kind of patrol? And not that he was going to have to really do anything other than call his boss if someone showed up to try to change the locks and some of these things. And this warehouse was huge. I mean, I'm not sure how many acres it covered, but it was a huge facility, and it was gated, and there's a fence around this whole property. And my dad asked myself and my older brother, Justin, who's just shy of three years older than me, if we would want to help him guard that night, or basically watch. It wasn't necessarily guarding, but watch this property. And so as small boys, we're like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm sure we probably grabbed our cap guns and put on our, you know, fake badges as if we were police officers and things. And I remember that first that night we were there, my dad was getting tired. 12 o'clock is rolling around. I don't remember if it was a shift from 8 to 8 or what it was, but midnight's rolling around, and we're there. We did our driving around. We had an old station wagon, and we set up a little bed in the back in case we got tired. And the night's progressing. Around midnight, my dad's getting really tired. He had worked a full day and then came home, tried to get a nap, and went back for this guarding. So he's there, and we had drove around the building, came back to the gate. There's a large gate for semi-trucks to come through that was locked, and then there's a little foot gate. So dad's like, you boys want to watch for a little? I'm just going to lay in the back of this station wagon and take a little nap. If you guys are watching, just wake me up if you see anything or if anyone comes. So we're there. My dad gets in the back of the station wagon, and he decides to take a nap. And we see some headlights. It was a large commercial, you know, like development, and there's other roads that went different places. See this out, we're coming from the main road, see these lights coming in, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was, and we're watching, and all we see is the police. He turned around and left. A little bit later, my brother and I, hey, there's another car. Wait, it's turning down this lane. Should we wake up dad? Let's see what they're going to do, see if they're coming here. So we're waiting around, and this car turns in, comes down this lane, coming to the gate, and we're still debating as young boys, should we wake dad or should we just see who this is or what's going to happen? I'm not saying this was the smart decision, but we decided not to wake my dad, and we decided we're going to handle this ourselves. And so this car pulls up to the gate, and the gate was locked, and we were in the inside, they're on the outside, so we weren't too worried. And we see the door open, and a man steps out. And that man was my dad's boss. 1 o'clock in the morning, I don't know where he was coming from or what he was doing other than checking up to see if my dad was doing his job. We recognized him. We had met the man before as boys. We did some cleaning at some of the workplaces where my dad worked in the evenings. So we knew this, Tom Bordemay. So we're like, hi, Tom. Hi, Mr. Bordemay, whatever we said. And he's like, where's your dad? And we're like, oh, he's right here in the station wagon. He's taking a nap. And he's like, okay, you guys watch it? You keep an eye on things? We're like, oh, yeah, we got this and stuff. And we're talking to him. And after we saw it was his boss, I'm sure we were wondering if we made the right decision to not wake dad about this vehicle pulling up the parking lot. I'm quite sure we had those thoughts, but it was too late. So Tom gets back in his vehicle and he leaves. And my dad wakes up shortly thereafter and he says, "How was it, boys? See anything?" I'm like, "Yeah, Tom Bordomay stopped by." And he's like, "Yeah, sure." No, he did. He's like, "What?" He's like, I thought I told you to wake me up if anyone comes. I'm like, "Well, yeah, we saw this car and we didn't know." And then he pulled up, we saw it was him. And so needless to say, my dad wasn't too impressed with our decision. It all turned out my dad didn't get fired. The boss was fine with him taking a nap while he's on the job, but I think we learned a little lesson through it. You might wonder, what's this story have to do with what I'm going to share today? And I wrestled, and I know I've been in the tape sound booth years ago when I was young, and sometimes people preach a sermon and they don't give titles, and I wrestled with the title for this. I had a previous one, and I scrapped that. So I guess if you want to put something, if you're recording or if you're taking notes, you could put maybe titled "My Soul Beyond Thy Guard," and in your songbooks you have a song number 950, and I may read that at some point. But "My Soul Beyond Thy Guard," maybe I will just read that real quickly here. It's not a very long song. 950, "My Soul Beyond Thy Guard," and the verse at the top of this, and I have that in some of my notes. And I will say that some of the verses I have way more references than probably have time to really go through. And I don't really like doing that usually, is having a lot of verses, but I may share some of them. If you're taking notes, fine, write them down, check them out later on, but don't feel like you have to follow me with all the scripture references. I may be kind of quick with sharing some of them. But anyway, the verse at the top of this song says, "Be vigilant, because the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And that's for every one of us, young and old. But it says, "My soul, be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Oh, watch and fight and pray, the battle ne'er give o'er. Renew it boldly every day, and help divine implore. Ne'er think the victory won, nor lay thine armor down. Thy arduous work will not be done, till thou obtain thy crown. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath to his divine abode." Some really powerful words in that song, and I'd like to touch on some things today as we think about our soul being on thy guard. Another title I thought about was "Stand Fast," and we're going to cover some of those things. But you said an hour and a half, 2 hours for a message, or how long was it? Don't go over three. I was talking to a preacher, became a friend. He came for a weekend of meetings. I didn't know him before that, but we hit it off pretty good. And he told me, if you want to have people like you when you preach a sermon, don't go too long. And he said, if you really want people like you, or mothers to like you with children, you know, go even shorter, and youth. And I forget how he all said it. And it's kind of funny. He told me this before his weekend of meetings. And then he went on to have meetings, and I thought he went actually quite long, so I wasn't sure how much he was wanting to be liked, but he was a likable guy, so that really helped. So I'll try to keep my eye on time, because I do like to talk sometimes. So I like telling stories too. So I'd like for a text, if you would like to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It's probably a familiar verse to a lot of us. Maybe we've read this many times, and it's whatever I have to say this morning is not going to be anything new. But I think as we look at the Word of God, and as we look at Scripture, and we look at verses we've heard before and looked at, we know that the Word of God is supposed to continue to inspire and speak anew. And so I pray that this morning it can do that, as it's doing for me, that it could be for you as well, because I believe anyone that stands up here and prepares gets more out of it than anyone else in the congregation. And so I think for that reason alone, it's good to agree, make an agreement to share sometimes as we can, or talk to others, because we can learn a lot. And each one of you have opportunity as older ones to study the Word, whether it be woman or man. Maybe you're not up here sharing, but you can go into the Word of God, and it benefits us. So I'm thankful for that. So 1 Corinthians 16, 13, not a very long verse, and we're going to take our 4 points out of this verse, and it is, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." So watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. I like to call the 4 points the four B's, and not B's with two E's, with one E. B. And the first one we'd like to look at this morning is be on guard. And I told you a story about being on guard. That was a fun time for a 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy, whatever I was at that time. But we're thinking about our soul and being on guard. And not just our soul, but the souls around us. We're part of bodies of Christ. We are part of local fellowships, and we have a need to be on guard. We need to be awake, alert. That's what that's talking about. Awake, alert, not sleeping. Being on guard. And there's many verses we can look at about being on guard. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, "Therefore, let us not sleep, so as do others, but let us watch and be sober." I see that picture of being on guard, watching. Matthew 26:41, Jesus is in the garden there and says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Colossians 4:2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." And then that verse that was at the top of the song there, 1 Peter 5:8-9a. I'm just going to turn there quickly myself. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And verse 9, first part says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." And in the Amplified, that verse 8, "Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times." And I think that's the instructions we're receiving, is to be on guard. There's a lot of things that come and can creep into our lives and unawares if we're not on guard, we're not watching, we're not being alert, we're not paying attention. Satan wants to do that. He comes in sly ways. He's not one that sometimes we see it in loud ways, but we know him to be sly and deceptive and to lie. And so we need to be on guard. Watchfulness, a necessary and daily duty. We cannot be safe one moment without it. We must watch against all sin, all appearance of sin, all temptation to sin, all occasions of sinning. We must watch for all opportunities to glorify God, all opportunities for doing good to others. And so this being on guard, I don't believe it's just talking about for myself. I think we can be on guard for each other. And that's the beauty of a community, of a fellowship, is that we can look out. And sometimes it's hard when people are on guard for me and they come and talk to me about something they see in my life. That takes humility. Takes sometimes just, yeah. I actually had a situation recently where someone came and talked to me about, it was actually things from accumulation of several years. Not big things. There's things that they were not sure about. And they talked to me, and it was a struggle for me. I felt like I want to hear, I don't want to come back. I don't want to push back. I want to accept. And I had to do some soul searching, and I had to check my motives in some of these things. And some of them, I feel, as I talked with my wife and I talked to my pastor, that I could accept what was said, but there's some things that I came back to God and said, "God, you know my heart. You know my motives in some of these things. Tell me if I'm not right." But yeah, I felt this brother, I feel like he cares about me, even though maybe everything wasn't exactly accurate. Maybe there are certain things that I could get confirmation from my wife or my pastor and say, "You know what? I don't feel like you're doing this intentionally for this reason or that." But being on guard. So we are called to do this for each other. We have the parable of the 10 virgins and watching. There's many different examples, and we're not going to be able to cover them all. But I would like to read this one. It's a song, actually, but in a poem, as most songs are, by Johann Burchard Freystein. 1697 is when this was written. But it goes well with watching and about being on guard. It says, "Rise, my soul, to watch and pray. From thy sleep awaken. Be not by the evil day unawares or taken. For the foe, well we know, oft his harvest reapeth while the Christian sleepeth." "Watch against the devil's snares, lest asleep he find thee. For indeed no pain he spares to deceive and blind thee. Satan's prey, oft are they, who secure are sleeping, and no watch are keeping. Watch, let not the wicked world with its power defeat thee. Watch, lest with her pomp unfurled she betray and cheat thee. Watch and see, lest there be faithless friends to charm thee, who but seek to harm thee. Watch against thyself, my soul, lest with grace thou trifle. Let not thyself thy thoughts control, nor God's mercy stifle. Pride and sin lurk within, all thy hopes to scatter. Heed not when they flatter. But while watching, also pray to the Lord unceasing. He will free thee, be thy stay, strength and faith increasing. O Lord, bless in distress, and let nothing swerve me from thy will to serve thee. Amen. Watch. Let's be on guard. Let's be watching for our own souls and for those around us. Take a look at the second point, another B. So we have be on guard or be watchful. And the second one is taken from the next part of that verse that we read in 1 Corinthians 16, where it says, stand fast in the faith. And I would like to just put out there as a second point, be standing and unmovable. Be standing or unmovable. Excuse me. I think sometimes I've seen in my own life too often where, you know, life is going on and I find myself, it feels like just, I'm just doing one of these, just sitting back, you know, things are going okay. I've even realized recently that there's things that I've become aware of that I feel like I've faced victories. I've had battles I've won and have overcome in, and time goes by. And I'm still claiming those past victories. I don't know if you can relate to that. And it's something I just became aware of more recently is through someone preaching a message of claiming the past victories. And I feel like I was just kind of going along. Things were going fairly well, you know, not facing a lot. And all of a sudden, boom, you're hit with things and hit with things and hit with things because I'm just relaxing. I'm not really standing. I'm not against that. And I think that's so important that we realize that it takes standing. We can't get too comfortable. We can't get too relaxed. And sometimes God has seasons of life where it seems there's more difficulties and there's more challenges than other times where maybe it's just going along a little better. And it's easy for us to just kind of relax. Just, you know, just take it easy. Just sit back and we're just along for the ride. And we're in a fellowship. And maybe things, there has been many bumps recently. And I found myself there personally at times. And all of a sudden it's like, something happens, like, wait, what happened here? And I was claiming past victories rather than standing and being alert, because that's when we need to strengthen ourselves in those times where things are going well. We need to strengthen because we don't know when the next onslaught will be. And it's rewarding. It's not, I don't want to make this a negative thing where we are just hit all the time and we just need to, you know, this life is so difficult. No, God gives us joy. He gives us freedom. He gives us many things that bring joy into our lives, but we do know we are in a battle. We read those verses. We know there is an adversary that is out to destroy. He doesn't want us to have faithful families and marriages and homes and churches. He is out to destroy that. He doesn't want that to happen. So we need to stand firm in the faith. We need to defend the truth, the gospel, and not yield unto the adversary. That standing fast in the faith or being unmovable, in the hold on to your confidence in God and the doctrines of the gospel with unwavering consistency. Do not yield to the influence and the wisdom of the world and all the things they want to push into our lives. We don't need that. Something I read somewhere says, difficulties meet us even in standing our ground. For the apostle two or three times bids us stand. In the rush of the fight, men are apt to be carried off their legs. If they can keep their footing, they will be victorious. But if they are borne down by the rush of their adversaries, everything is lost. You are to put on the heavenly armor in order that you may stand, and you will need it to maintain the position in which your captain has placed you. If even to stand requires all this care, judge ye what the warfare must be. The apostle also speaks of withstanding as well as standing. Withstanding as well as standing. We are not merely to defend, but also to assail. It is not enough that you are not conquered. You have to conquer. And so we're called to stand. We can't sit back and relax. We want to conquer. We advance by being in the standing position. How can we conquer? How can we press forward? Reminds me of a story that, thinking of standing, and my brother, Justin, again, of course, we were fairly close in age, and so we have a lot of stories, but when he was probably 16, I'm guessing I was 13 or 14, he was 16, 17 years old, he was working at a barn shop, and my dad had a bulk food store right next to this storage barn shop, and I don't know if it was a Saturday, I think he was working by himself, and behind our bulk food deli store that my dad owned, and I worked for him, there was storage for the mini barn shop. There was a big building, and they used they stored their lumber and things behind our storefront. And then their shop was next door where they built the buildings. And I happened to walk out back of our store into this warehouse part where we kept pallets and cardboard and did all that stuff. And I saw my brother on the forklift, and he was trying to get a unit of lumber. It was texture, 4x8 sheets of texture siding. 66, I think, pieces to a unit, still what they are. So 3,000-something pounds, I think, is what they run roughly, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, he was trying to get this top unit, and our store wall was here, and there's a set of stairs that went up the wall of our store, and the units were stacked against the stairs. And now, if this is the top of the steps going down, these units were stacked close to the top of the steps, and he was trying to get the top unit. Now, those forks on that forklift were a little thicker than some, and some of those stickers on that texture were a little too shallow. So, trying to get it, well, he was pushing the top unit off the top of the stack as he was trying to get this unit of texture. I happened to walk out and I see his predicament. And so I said, let me go up there and I'll see if there's any way I could kind of just hold that while you keep creeping into that stack or into that unit. And he's trying to push, and I'm trying to brace myself on the stairs as he's pushing the forklift, trying to get the forks under further. And rather than, of course, I'm sure he was newer at running the forklift and all too, but knowing now, I could have probably lifted a little, put another sticker in there. And anyways, that didn't happen. He gets to the point where I realize that it's like almost at the teeter point. And I yelled for him to stop, but I realize it's there. Like, it's kind of just on the balance. And I'm standing there on the steps, and I'm like, I think if I let go, this thing's going. So I yelled for him to come help me and thought, well, maybe somehow we can move this 3,000-pound unit back onto the stack a little further. So he runs up the stairs, and we're standing on the steps, and we're bracing ourselves. And it just feels like more, it's just heavier and heavier. And so we're both there, and there's no one else around. We're like, you know, standing on these steps, bracing ourselves. And we're like, there's nothing we can do. We got to run. So you'd think if you're smart, you'd run up the steps, but no, we didn't. We ran down the steps. Thankfully, we're faster than the unit. So one, two, three, and we ran down the steps, and this unit came off and hit that wall of the store. The band's broken. And I'm sure it was very loud in the store. My dad came running out of the store, out the back door pretty fast, and there's two older ladies shopping in the store. My dad had talked to them. It was their first time in the store. And they just ran out the door, out the front door of the store, never came back in. They just jumped into the vehicle and left. Thankfully, we weren't hurt, the unit. But I tell that story again, standing fast. You know, we were there. If we would have had more people, and again, the need for, it's hard alone sometimes. We need each other. And so this message may have different parts that you may take from it, but the need to stand together, to stand firm in the faith and be united together. And when he came, it was easier. But if we would have had another 5-10 guys, we could have taken care of that. But we were able to stand hold it for a time. And so just an encouragement. Let's stand fast in the faith. Be unmovable. For some of you children here, there's quite a few children. Maybe you can think of stories in the Bible that talk about standing, or someone in the Bible, you think of that, stood for what is right. I have a story I thought of, but I thought maybe some of you children, as you think of Bible stories and You maybe hear them in children's lesson like we did today. But I was thinking one story in particular where there's three men that stood for what is right. They didn't give in. They stood firm, even though it meant death for them. That's what they're expecting if they stood for what is right. They're expecting death. And I think even as we think about some of these things, this message is also for the children as well. Sometimes children are faced with difficulties. Maybe you're in a situation where you know you shouldn't do this, but others are saying it's fine. Or maybe it's not even you're with others, but you know it may seem easier just to not be honest and tell a lie about this. But you're also called to do what is right and to stand. But is there anyone that wants to raise their hand and maybe there's a story you can think of three men that stood for what is right? Is there anyone? Any children? Yes. That's the one I was thinking of. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thank you for being willing to talk to a stranger. Good job, parents, and teach your children not to talk to strangers, right? No, not many raises hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not be moved in the face of death. And I think that's a wonderful example of standing firm in the faith, standing firm in what you believe, even when you're threatened. And there's many other verses, and I see that time is just slipping away. So maybe a couple, just briefly I'll mention Philippians 4:1, so stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast, that you stand fast in one spirit in Philippians 1. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:15, stand fast and hold the traditions. Revelations 3. Verse 11, 12 talks about, behold, I come quickly, hold fast. So we have many verses of holding fast, about standing fast, being unmovable. And 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So don't be weary in this standing and holding fast. Let's stand fast and be unmovable. Third point. See in Corinthians there, it talks about quit you like men. And there's different thoughts that are given with that. Amplified says it this way for that verse. Be on guard, stand firm in your faith in God, respecting his precepts, and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men and be courageous, be strong. And I like the third point to be courageous. As men, as women, sometimes maybe we think as men of being courageous. Maybe I get a raise of hands. How many of you are familiar with cold water therapy? We got some. Great. Maybe that takes courage to do that. We had a fun experience last week. My boys, I got home from work and my coworkers, he's a single young man, started having him over for supper Monday night. So he came along home, and my boys were like, we want to do a polar plunge. We have a river running right through our property, and we have up there, we're in upstate New York, there's snow on the ground, and it's cold. So I think it was 18 degrees, and the boys were like, we want to do a polar plunge. So, okay, is this the right night? Sure, whatever, we can do a polar plunge. My brothers, my dad has a pond, and they've been cutting holes in the ice and doing some cold water therapy. So I've done it actually, not necessarily in the river, but I do some cold water therapy for years, a little bit. But for those of you that may not be familiar, I've never tried it. I would encourage you to try it. Maybe put it out as a dare. Be courageous. So we live maybe 100 yards from the river, and put on our swimming clothes, and I ran. I'm trying to think. I think I had socks on. I ran down in my socks to the river through the snow and ice, and the edges of the river are ice and decent thickness, even though it's a pretty good running river, but so that tells you how cold it is. We didn't check. We tried to check it, but our thermometer thing didn't work in the water. I'm guessing it's 30s, roughly. It felt like that. So my boys and I and this friend jumped in the river, and some of them were in about that long till they were out again. Anyways, it takes discipline. It takes some control. Maybe you could say being courageous to do it. Some of you that have done in ICE. But I think one of the big things, at least for me, and I think others too, that I've heard or read or whatever, is to control your breathing. Like, that's a big part of it, is to breathe deep. Like, you just want, you want to just, you know, it takes your breath away. So you need to learn how to control. And I stayed in. I just sat there. It was up to my neck. I actually had to hook my feet under the ice so I can not drift down river and chunks of ice are floating by me. And I stayed in for a little bit, and the others were all running to the vehicle to warm up and back to the house. But being courageous, and that story may be a little bit, you know, maybe doesn't go so well, being courageous. But to me, it takes some discipline. And I think in our walk with the Lord, sometimes some of these things can be that way. We need to quit ye like men. We need to be courageous and behave as spiritually grown men or women. We are as soldiers fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do not behave yourselves like children, but like men, with spiritual courage and strength. And just like this cold water, it took courage, it took strength to stay in there. But the result, it actually helps you feel really good afterwards. So if you haven't tried it, try it. Even just turn your water all the way cold after a shower. Just turn it all the way cold and let that water hit you for a couple minutes. Just stay under it, and you'll come out and your body will radiate. And I think sometimes being courageous and doing what is right doesn't always feel good. It doesn't feel maybe to the flesh and to the... But the end result is worth it. In Joshua, we have verses about being strong and of courage. And in Chronicles, just read this one verse in Chronicles 28:20, 1 Chronicles, it says, "And David said to Solomon, son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And we can go to Hebrews and talk about those, Hebrews 11, heroes of faith who were courageous and victorious, and they did great things. And we think about Daniel and what he did, and when he was threatened, and the courage it took for him to go and still bow and pray in that place where he would be tried for that. He didn't shy away from that. He went. That took courage. And how many times are we called to things and we sometimes just, we don't want to say that to that person, even though God is present. Talk to that person. Tell them about the Lord or say something. And we shrink away and we don't do it because, I don't know what they're going to think, how they're going to feel towards me. Let's be men and women of courage. Let's be courageous. We're going to move on to our fourth point, last point. Be strong. Be strong. Be strengthened, fixed. Be strong, therefore, strong for service, strong for suffering, strong for fighting. We need others, just like in that story of holding that unit of texture. There's strength in number, and I believe that's why God has allowed us to be part of congregations. He wants community. He wants people to be a part of our lives. There's strength in that. It can help as we open up and as we're vulnerable and we talk to other people and we share about who we are, and they talk to us, and they're on guard for our souls, and we are on guard for theirs. There's something that happens, and it can help us to be stronger, to be more equipped. My son Travis, he had a goal for before he turned 16. He just turned 16 a few weeks ago, a month ago almost. He had a goal to, he wanted to do a marathon. He likes to do some running, and he wanted to do a full marathon. I've done some running, never near a marathon. A full marathon, and I need to get back into it because I'm feeling out of shape. But he had this goal of doing a full marathon before he turned 16, and I was just like, his birthday's end of January, January 30th, and I was like, this ain't the time of the year to do a full marathon. It's cold. I mean, it's not nice weather. And so I was kind of putting it down. And one time he tried, and he made it 20-something miles, and I forget if we had something going, it got dark, and so we picked him up and brought him home, and so he didn't get to do it, and So a couple days before his birthday, I think it was, a few days, he's like, I really want to do this marathon. This is a goal he had. And I was like, okay, whatever. Do it if you want to do it. You know, something you want to do, go for it. I should have probably been more of a support, more of strength to him and a help to him. But my son Kyle, who's 13, he said he'll go with him and he'll bike with him. That way he can bring some water and some other things if he needs, some salt and sugar or whatever you need so you don't get cramps and all that stuff. And so he had it out one afternoon and took off on foot and was tracking, make sure he got his time in. And his testimony after the fact was that if it wasn't for my son Kyle, he wouldn't have made it. It was his brother along his side saying, Travis, you can do it. Keep going. Be strong. Here, have a little more salt because I'm getting cramped in my legs. And here's a little sugar. Have a little sugary drink to help get that sugar back up. And he said that if it wasn't for him, he wouldn't have completed it. He knows he wouldn't have completed it. And I thought it was a great example of that in the body. Sometimes someone just coming alongside, brother, here, this is what you need. Like, this is for you. Be strong. You can do this. You can make this. And we feel ourselves at that place sometimes. I've been there where I just feel so low and so needy and so overwhelmed. And sometimes, like, where are people? And someone comes. There's a text. There's someone comes alongside you. Says, brother, you can do it. Get back up. Don't stay down. We've all faced stuff. We've had our hurts. We have trauma. We have things in our life, childhood, things that happen. But that doesn't need to keep us down. We need each other. Come on, brother, you can do it. Stand up. Let's do it. And so Travis, mile after mile, and I went out to be with him for the last couple miles, or last mile, I think it was. I got in the vehicle because I should have ran, but sorry. I don't feel up to that. I jumped in the vehicle and met him, and there he is, just still pounding it out, 25 miles. 1.2 more miles to go, Travis, you're going to be there. You could do it, Travis. Here, have a little ginger ale. I had ginger ale with me. I was like, have a ginger ale. Have some sugar. And he takes a little bit. And I think that boosted him that last mile. Dad's beside him, encouraging him. You could do it. You can do it. And he was able to run that last mile, 26.2 miles in 4 hours and 17 minutes because he had a brother beside him, pressing him on, helping him make it that last mile. Last 5 miles, last 10 miles. He said the first bit was almost harder than the last, just to go. I'd like to encourage us all, let's be there. Let's be strong. Let's stand up for those around us, not just for ourselves. And there's many verses we could look at talking about being strengthened in Christ. Strengthened with all might. Be strengthened. Be strong in the grace. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Ephesians 6, talking about putting on the whole armor of God. That encouragement to battle, the beginning of that encouragement is be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need His mighty power working in and through our lives to be victorious, to make this. And we have verses in Hebrews that talk about this race that we're in. Do you want to be a part of that final finish line when we make it to our eternal home? We need to be strong to win that race. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We've had those that have run before us. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin, those things that want to hinder us from making that race, that finishing that race. If Travis would have, my son would have been there carrying a big backpack and other things, we'd say, how foolish. Like, you're trying to do a marathon in a good time. Like, you can't do that. And he wouldn't have made that. And how often do we carry things? I don't let people speak into my life like I should because they see something. But, you know, I'm not humble enough. But God wants us to lay those things down, put them aside. We don't have to have those things. You know, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurts, a lot of things. And We need to work through those things. And I've had to do that in my life. There's things that I've faced. There's difficulties and things that I realize sometimes trigger me. But I'm learning how to deal with those things and bring them to God and lay them down. Because I don't want those things affecting my race. I want to be strong in the Lord. I want to quit you like men. I want to be courageous. I want to lay aside those things. So let us be strong. Just close with a story that I read and share. Just read a song after this. It says, a great citywide revival swept across Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1858. It was called the Work of God in Philadelphia. Of the participating ministers, none was more powerful than the 29-year-old Dudley Tinge, who was known as a bold and uncompromising preacher. In addition to his pastoring his own church, Dudley Tinge began holding noonday services at the downtown YMCA. Great crowds came to hear this dynamic young preacher. On Tuesday, March 30th, 1858, over 5,000 men gathered for a noon meeting to hear Tinge preach from the text, "Ye are men, go serve the Lord. Ye that are men, go serve the Lord," out of Exodus 10:11. Over 1,000 of these men committed their lives to Christ. At one point, the young preacher proclaimed, "I must tell my master's errand, and I'd rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than that I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message." The very next week, while visiting in the country and watching the operation of a corn thrashing machine in a barn, young Tinge accidentally caught his loose sleeve between the cogs. The arm was lacerated severely, with the main artery severed and the median nerve injured. As a result of shock and a great loss of blood, Dudley Tinge died. On his deathbed, when asked by a group of sorrowing friends and ministers for a final statement, he feebly whispered, "Let us all stand up for Jesus." The next Sunday, Tinge's close friend and fellow worker, George Duffield, pastor of a church in Philadelphia, preached his morning service as a tribute to his departed friend. He closed his sermon by reading a poem that he had just finished writing, inspired as he told his people by the dying words of his esteemed friend. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men, now trust him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. May God bless. May he help you as you keep standing, as you have your soul on guard. And may he help you in your community, in your fellowship, to be there for one another, to stand fast. As 4 points, be on guard, be standing unmovable, be courageous, be strong. May God bless.